I know that the message tonight will apply to our hearts, probably already has applied to our hearts. If not, at some time during your lifetime, it will apply to you. I'm going to preach on God's cure for loneliness. There was a story I read a while back, true story, by the way. There was an elderly lady in an apartment in New York, and they found her dead. She had committed suicide. And when the police and the EMTs got there, they found the note. And here's what the note said. Today is my birthday. Nobody called. Nobody came by. Nobody cared. Now, beloved, that'd be the height of loneliness, wouldn't it? Nobody seemed to care if she lived or if she died. On her birthday, no one, not a soul, cared enough to at least call her or to come by or express in some way that they loved her. Beloved, we find loneliness everywhere we go. As pastors, we deal with it quite often in people's lives, and it's a very delicate subject, to say the least, to deal with. But everywhere you go, you find loneliness. Wives are lonely because of the death of their husbands. Husbands are lonely because of the death of their wives. Husbands and wives are lonely because of divorce. Housewives, many times, are lonely. They feel like they're just stuck in the house to care for the children. That's the whole realm of their life. And at this particular time of the year, college students get lonely because many times they're off from their family surroundings for the first time, and they're into a very foreign environment, and they have no family near, and they don't know any of the people they have, you know, come to join with yet as friends, and so they feel lonely as well. Well, people in the workforce, many of them feel lonely because they've been stuck in a job for maybe years and years and years with no future whatsoever beyond where they are in the workforce. So they're lonely too. Parents are lonely sometimes because their last child has moved out and they're now experiencing the empty nest syndrome. We kind of did a reverse of that with our kids. We moved away and left them. They forgave us for it, though. I'm sure that they did. But even grandparents are sometimes lonely because they don't get to see their grandchildren like they want to. And many times grandparents are lonely because they just sit and they wait, hoping to have a call from some family member, and the call does not come in. The list could just go on and on and on, couldn't it?
Yes.
Of loneliness in people's lives. Beloved, listen, not one person under the sound of my voice is immune from being lonely. It can happen to all of us, and probably it will happen to most of us, if not all of us, at some point in time in our life. You can be lonely in the middle of a crowd. You don't have to be by yourself. But does God's Word have anything to say to we who might be lonely? Does God Himself care about us being lonely? Does He have anything to say to us, His concern about us being lonely? Sure He does. We know that He does. And we know that the Word of God also speaks to us. God does care, and God does understand better than anybody else in the world about our condition of loneliness, doesn't He?
Yes.
He cares about our feelings. He cares about what happens to us, and He cares about us being lonely. His Word does speak to us, because loneliness is a growing plague in our modern-day society, because so many now living situations are either apartment situations, or they're maybe assisted living, or they're some kind of townhomes or something, that people live almost like a secluded lifestyle. They don't know who their neighbors are. They don't have any, you know, friends nearby. And so it's a growing, real progressive problem in our modern day society today, this condition of being lonely. So does God care? Yes, He cares. Does God speak to us? Yes, He does, from the blessed Word of God. I want to turn with you and look at some things. First of all, I want you to see with me God's concern for loneliness. If you'll turn back with me to the first book in the Bible, Genesis, look in chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. Look at verses 18 through verse 24. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 through 24. Go all the way back to the beginning when the first man, Adam, was created. Genesis 2:18, and it says this, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Beloved, God created mankind to be a social being. What do you mean, preacher, social being? I mean that God created us to be with others, to be with others of our kind. It's not good, God said, for man to be alone. Well, if you look back at the picture, you find that every beast of the field had a mate. Every fowl of the air had a mate. Even the fish in the waters had a mate. But for Adam, the Bible says he didn't have a mate. God was so highly concerned about Adam being lonely because everything else God had created had a mate, but not man. So God was so concerned about Adam that God did two particular things. God made a provision for his loneliness, and God made a presentation to him about his loneliness. Let's look at those together. First of all, the provision that God made. Now, you know the story, how it goes. When God said, it's not good for man to be alone, beloved, listen, God knows what He's talking about. You can be sure if God said it's not good for man to be alone, then it's not good for man to be alone. Amen? Amen. It's not good, He said, for man to be alone. So God made special provision that mankind would not have to be alone and to be, you know, feel lonely. So the story goes that God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep, and God took a rib from his body and closed up the incision. That's the first surgery we ever hear about, but it didn't have any stitches. God took the rib from Adam, closed up the flesh, and God took the rib bone and he made a woman. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. God said, I'm going to make for Adam a helpmeet, or we might say a helpmate, or a mate. Actually, woman is to be considered the completer of the man. So God made a woman, Eve, we know to be sure, to complete Adam, to take care of his loneliness that he would feel and experience by not having a mate himself. So God made a provision, first of all, that we not be alone, because it's not good. And then from that provision, God made a presentation unto Adam. The Bible says God brought Eve and presented her to Adam. Guys, could you just imagine how he must have felt when God first presented her to him? It wasn't like a little bit later when he said, God, this is that woman you gave me, caused me to fall into sin. That hadn't happened yet. But can you imagine? The most beautiful woman who's ever lived was Eve. Ladies, no disrespect to you, but she was number one. Beautiful, without sin. And God himself presented her to Adam to be his helpmeet, his mate, his wife, his completer. And he said, now this is to be called woman, because she came forth from my bones and my flesh. And from that very first male and female, to this very day, Genesis 2 says, that's the reason that a man leaves his father, and he leaves his mother, and he joins himself to his wife, and they become one flesh. That means he's completed, he won't be lonely, neither of them should be lonely so long as they both shall live. That's God's ideal for marriage. Well, he was with his same kind. God made provision and God made a presentation. You know, a lot of people make commitments to us, and those commitments sometimes go all the way to death, as in marriage. It's supposed to be, at least. That's God's ideal for one man and one woman to live together in one relationship until they die. But God's ideal is that we live that way. I know that God's ideal is not always, you know, realized, but nevertheless, let me say this to you. If God's given you a good mate, you need to thank God. I thank God for Amanda. I thank God for her. She has been my completer over the many years we've been married. I just shudder to think where I might be today if we hadn't have gotten married. So I thank God for my mate. You ought to thank God for your mate. So God is indeed concerned for our loneliness, isn't He? He made provision for us, made a presentation for us. But look at a second thought. God has compassion for our loneliness. If you'll turn over in the New Testament, we're going to move from the Old Testament all the way down to New Testament times. Go all the way to the Gospel of John and look at John chapter 14. Look at verse 15 through verse 18 there. John 14, 15 through 18. These are the words of Jesus. These are the words of red. You know, when you see that in the Bible, that's Jesus talking. Amen. John 14, 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. When you move from the very birth of creation down to the New Testament, you still find loneliness. If you'll just back up to John 14, verse 1, Jesus tells his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The disciples are already feeling lonely, because they knew soon Jesus was going back to heaven and they would be left alone in a hostile world. So you see it here even in the New Testament times, don't you? But notice the compassion Jesus had for them in their loneliness. The same compassion he showed to them is the very same compassion he shows to you and he shows to me today. Look at that compassion he had for their loneliness. First of all, he said, I'm going to pray for you. Men, I'm going to pray for you. Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father. Now listen. I'm going to pray to God the Father, men, on your behalf. And the same prayer He prayed for His disciples then is the same prayer He prays for us today. I will pray on your behalf to the Father. As He prayed for them, He prays for us just the same way. Because He didn't want them to be lonely. And God doesn't want us to be lonely, so Jesus lifts up a prayer to the Father on our behalf. But notice something about His prayer. He prayed for them before He went back to heaven. Did you notice that? They were there assembled together, and He prayed for them before He went back to heaven. Jesus still prays for us in heaven. The Bible teaches us that He ever lives, the Bible says, to make intercession for us. Just as He prayed for them, beloved, listen, He's praying for you. He's praying for me. The next time you start feeling lonely, think about it. Just give it some thought that Jesus in heaven today, seated at the right hand of God the Father on the throne, He's interceding for you. He's praying for you. Think about it. Jesus prays for the whole world. He prays for other people, but listen, He prays for me. Out of all the people in this world Jesus could pray for, He prays for me. And you start feeling lonely, you think about it. Jesus prays for us. Remember, I don't have to feel alone because I'm being prayed for. Our Lord has compassion on me and He prays for me. But notice something else He said to them. He made them a promise in His compassion to them. In same verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Then in verse 18 He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He not only promised to pray for His early first century disciples, but He promises to pray for us. He prayed for them. He prays for us. And He said also, when I pray to the Father, I'm going to have Him send you another Comforter. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you in this hostile world. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you alone and lonely. I'm going to send you another Comforter. And we know the other Comforter is none other than the Holy Spirit of God, don't we? He said, I'm going to give Him to you. And He's not just going to abide with you. He's going to abide in you. Listen, how long?
Forever.
He'll be with you forever. So, I'm never really alone, am I? You're never really alone, are you? If you're a child of God, you have the Spirit of God living in you, and you're never really ever alone, are you? Remember the great compassion Jesus has for us in our loneliness. He prays for us, and He promised to send us the Holy Spirit of God, and He's done that very thing. But look at a third thing Jesus said about our lonely condition. He said, I'm concerned. I have compassion on you, but I'm going to make a commitment to you there in John 14:18. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So, He promises us another Comforter, that He'll be with us and in us and live with us forever and forever and forever. I love a new Bible, but sometimes it's difficult to get the pages to turn like you want them to turn. Have to work at it and go through all the Bible pages. Jesus is so concerned. He has so much compassion to us. He's given us a lasting commitment. So we can overcome the loneliness or the aloneness that we may experience in our lives. Jesus made a commitment. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's a commitment. Has Jesus ever failed to keep a commitment that He's made to us? No. Every single commitment Jesus has made, He's either already kept it, or He's keeping it today, or He will keep it between now and the time He comes again. Now, many commitments Jesus has made to us. I couldn't begin to name them all. I just want to look at two with you. His great commitment to us. His was a personal commitment. Did you hear what he said? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Did you get that? Look at that almost word by word. He said, I will come to you. He's not going to send an angel. He's not going to send a heavenly ambassador to comfort you. He said, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come to you. He said, I will. That means presently. Not I might come sometime down the road, or you know, I might have come later or some other time. He said, I'm coming now. I will come presently to you. No shadow of a doubt in my life whatsoever. I've experienced the coming of the Lord in my life many, many times. Haven't you? He said, I will come to you. I'll present myself to you. I'll come to you. That means to me, He personally is going to come to me. Of all the people in the world He could come to, He's coming to me. When I'm lonely, when I feel alone, if I feel downtrodden or depressed or whatever it is, I have Him to come to me. The next time you start feeling lonely, remember, Jesus is praying for you. He's promised He'll be with you. He's given you a commitment that He's going to personally come and be with you. So you don't have to feel alone, do you? Like I say, He's not sending somebody else. He's going to come Himself. He's coming person to person. He to you in your time of loneliness. What commitment is that? Nobody in the world can make a commitment like that to you. We as married partners, we commit ourselves to our spouse or our mate for life. But you know, when death comes, we have to say goodbye. But Jesus doesn't. He's made a personal commitment, but He's made also an eternal commitment. If you remember in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:20, He said this, "And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." That literally does mean I will be with you always and in all the ways until the end of the age. That means to me, beloved, it means this. In my good times, Jesus is with me. In my bad times, Jesus is with me. It's almost like a marriage commitment. You know, we make and take marriage vows like, you know, we commit ourselves to our spouse. In the good times, for better. In the bad times, for worse. In sickness and in health, till death do us part. Well, that part falls apart when it comes to Jesus. He's with us in the good times, bad times, rich or poor, sick or well, but it's not till death do us part, amen? He goes with us all the way beyond death into eternity. So you see, Jesus gives us a personal commitment, but He also gives us an eternal commitment. He came in my life when I got saved many, many years ago, and He's not gone anywhere. He's still here. Now, I've made some wrong turns in my life, hadn't we all? I made some mistakes and committed some sins that I regret, and I'm sorry for them, but He knows and understands that. But nonetheless, He said, I'll be with you all the way, every day. Nobody can make that commitment to you but Jesus. Now, my wife would go with me till we die. I'd go with her till we die. But when that time comes, that severs that relationship. But Jesus' relationship with us is never severed. Not in time or not in eternity. So you see, if you're a Christian, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're never, ever, ever going to really be alone. He's there. He's been there ever since you gave your heart and life to Him. And He's certainly not going anywhere, not in time, listen, nor ever in eternity, thank God. I want to close with this. The next time you start feeling lonely, remember this, would you? God has a cure. Take it. Amen.